put me back together. And every desire now satisfied here in your love.
Come on, sing with me.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Come on, church. Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Pray to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Oh, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. God of mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy grace won't find me in. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Nothing is better than you. Hey, hey. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Come on, let's just praise in this place. All the storm, we all know what God has done, how he's taken us from something that's turned us to something beautiful. God is all good. Woo!
You turn morning to dancing. You turn beauty to ashes. Turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn bitter to dancing. You turn beauty to ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn
turn praise into garlands. You turn bones.
you're going into dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares.
You turn praise.
You turn praise into God. Turn those into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You turn waves into valleys. You turn those into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only.
We're grateful for your transformational message, oh God. The things that you do in our lives, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Come on, help me out.
Till I met you, I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my time till I met you. Call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old they knew, Jesus, when I met you. The old they knew, Jesus, when I met you. And when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven.
away. We have a message. We have a testimony of what God has done. Woo! Here we go.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. And when you call my name,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
In our lives. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands and just give Him everything you've got. Dear Jesus, I just come to you today, Lord. Lord, I just pray right now that you touch every man here, Lord Jesus. Every man here comes bringing something, Lord. Maybe that's something with their kids, Lord. Maybe it's something with their wives, Lord. Maybe it's something at work, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, help us to just get it out of us today and into you, Lord. Fill us up with your Spirit, Lord. I pray right now you just touch every man here. Touch his family. Touch his career. Touch his children, Lord Jesus. Help everyone to just feel your presence in this house, Lord. I just thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for every man here, Lord, to get them here today, Lord. And you have something for them, Lord. You have something for everybody here, Lord, and their family, Lord. Help us to leave here ignited, Lord. I just thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Praise God. God is in the house today. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. That was just amazing. Couldn't ask for a better praise and worship. That was just awesome. They're going to be back up here a couple more times. Praise the Lord. All right, so while you're on your feet, man, you just got to feel that energy, right? Just feel that energy. And let me tell you something, that it's a great day to be alive today. Amen. No matter what's going on in the world, that can just be just blowing to your gut, just blowing to your spirit. No matter what the enemy is trying to do to you, it is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen? So, I know you didn't come here for just the free coffee and the free donuts, right? I know you didn't do that. So, you also probably didn't come away just to escape the wives, because, I mean, they're pretty cool to hang out with sometimes, right? Especially on the weekend. So, I thank you guys for giving up your Saturday morning to come here. And today, I want you to know that we're here for an event called The Stand, all right? And The Stand means something. When I was putting this together, the whole thing about standing up for God and standing up for everything it is that we need to believe in and believe for, there's a reason for it. It's because what He can do in our lives, amen? And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to learn how to stand. We're going to be challenged to stand. This isn't about how tough you are physically. It's not about how much weight you can push. This is about where you stand with the King of Kings. This is about taking a stand for Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, the one that we serve, He's not just some historical figure, right? Jesus Christ, He's here, but He's also the Forgiver. He is the Redeemer. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus saved my soul. Jesus is my light. Jesus is my shepherd. And I tell you what, Jesus is the only reason for me being. Amen? It's okay for you to get excited about things, right? Politics get us excited sometimes. We get a little back and forth. We get a little excited about a sporting event, the winning touchdown for the Chicago Bears, right? Or the Packers, you know, which, I mean, they're all good. They're all great. I'm a Niners fan. Don't hold it against me, right? Someday they'll be good again. If you don't mind, someone just came in with kids. Can someone just tell them to go? Dennis, could you ask him to just tell them where the kids go? He just walked in. Apologize. So anyway, if you're not getting worked up about Jesus, what's that say about everything else that you're getting worked up about? Right? Getting worked up about sports, getting worked up about you know, the winning shot in the NBA finals. Like, Jesus is amazing. Jesus is something to get worked up about. Amen? Amen. So I want to open your Bible real quick, and you can just follow along on the screen. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 16:13. And this whole event, I want you to kind of have this in the back of your mind. We'll read the scripture, we'll pray, then you guys can sit, okay? 1 Corinthians 16:13. This is going to be the main scripture. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. I want you to notice something about this verse. It doesn't say, be kind of alert, right? It says, be watchful. It doesn't say wobble a little bit in the faith. It says, stand firm. And it doesn't say act like boys. It says, act like men. And it doesn't say that be a little tough when it's convenient. It says, be strong. Amen? This is a call to action for us men. And the world needs us men to stand firm. Your family needs you to stand firm. Your children need you to stand firm. Maybe your future children need you to stand firm. And just for one quick second before we sit down, I want you to all close your eyes. Every one of you. Close your eyes for just a second. I want you to just take a deep breath with me, in with your nose. Like, hold it for just a second, and then let it out through your mouth. Again, in with your nose, and out with your mouth. One more time, in with your nose, and out with your mouth. And keep your eyes closed for just a second. Focus on your breathing for just a second. Now, I want you to just think about what your vision is of God right now. I want you to just envision him in your mind. Whatever it is that you might look at, whatever it is that you might think of him as in your life, maybe he's just an orb of pure power. Maybe he looks something kind of like the sun where you just can't see him because you know that he's just blinding rays, right? Maybe it's the face of Jesus, full of love and mercy. And to everyone else, everyone just got a different picture of him. And even sometimes that changes. But with your eyes just still shut for a second, just focus on him for just a second. And just think about just him. Nothing else matters right now. And I want you to just think about this for a second, because you just successfully shut out the entire world of your mind right now. And all you're doing right now is focusing on the King. That is so powerful. Because right now in this world, we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off. We're trying to do so many things. We're trying to please everyone. We're trying to fix everything. We're trying to solve all the problems and trying to conquer our circumstances and trying to plan every little detail and trying to become someone that we think we should be. It's exhausting. It's distracting. And it pulls our minds in millions of different directions. But today, right now, is like no other day. Amen? This is the day that you need to grab a hold of. Amen? A day that you need to use. Today is your day that you need to turn that light on inside of you, the light of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and make a stand for your spiritual awakening. I know you've been standing for a while, so go ahead and grab your seats. But don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. At any point in time today, you want to jump and shout and run and scream, I don't care. You just listen to God and you take that. You take that under, you just do it, right? So, you know, sometimes we look at challenges in our lives, the things that God's calling us for, and sometimes they just seem impossible, like absolutely impossible, like hitting a wall that we can never get over, like a barrier that's just too high or too strong, unbeatable. Some of us have that with our work. Some of us have that with our jobs and our wives. Sometimes it's your career that you're just hitting a brick wall with and you want to just get to that next level. Or sometimes you just can't get through to your children in the right way. Everyone has those barriers that just seem impossible. I want to talk about a barrier today for thousands of years in human history. There was one of those barriers in the world of athletics. It was the 4-minute mile. Who here's broken 4 minutes on a mile? Anybody? I did. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You're like, yeah, right. But the 4-minute mile, for centuries, people ran the mile, and not a single person had ever, ever broken the 4-minute mark. It wasn't a physical barrier. It became a psychological one. Doctors and scientists were saying that it was physical. They said it was impossible for the human body to sustain that kind of speed and exertion for a full mile. Your lungs would just burst. Like, your heart would explode, is what they would say. But then came a man named Roger Bannister. Anybody ever heard of him? He's a pretty fast dude. He's pretty cool. But in May 6, 1954, on a track in Oxford, England, with a time of 59.4 seconds, he did what was considered impossible. He broke that 4-minute mile. Was he superhuman? No, not at all. Was he built differently? No. The biggest challenge wasn't physical, right? The biggest challenge, Roger believed, was his mind. And that's what it really was. He trained his body and his mind and convinced himself that it was purely psychological. And here's what what the most interesting part is what happened after he broke it. Just weeks later, another runner did it. Weeks later, right? And then another. And then again. And again. And again, another runner did it. And the four-minute mile has been broken over 1,700 times now since 1954. And what changed? It wasn't the human body, right? We didn't just grow an extra leg. He proved that it could be done. That's it. He proved it that it could be done. The mental barrier shattered for everyone else. The impossible became possible because the belief in the impossibility was conquered. So what is your four-minute mile? Think about that. What is that barrier in your life, that thing in the world, the enemy, that's going to just keep pushing at you and just keep digging at you? Maybe there's voices from your past. I'm not sure. Everyone's got their four-minute mile. But guess what? It can be conquered. Believing the lie that you can't break down that wall or that barrier is just of the devil and of the flesh. That is not of Jesus. The biggest thing holding you back from taking your stand is normally you. God called you to take your stand and to live for him. It often is a mental break, or I'm sorry, it's often a mental barrier. And sometimes it's because we have so many other things running around in our minds, right? I mean, I know sometimes my mind's like a circus tent, just about ready to explode. Right? Not like explode in fury or anything like that, but there's so many things that I'm juggling and like so many things that I try to do and take on, and I never say no. Like, I just keep doing, like, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to set up barriers for my own life. Let's go to the Word. So 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and left lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So I don't know how, but my Bible switched into the ESV when I was reading this one. So that's the only ESV. It didn't match perfectly, but that's why. But I was reading out of the ESV there. And so real quick, did you catch that? The battleground is in your mind, your thoughts. And God says that we have divine power. Not human power. Divine power, gentlemen. Divine. And God says, destroy those strongholds. The enemy knows that if he can win the battle of your mind, he wins the war for your life. That's why he wants to fill your mind with doubt and fear and all sorts of distractions and temptations and things that don't matter. This kind of garbage just keeps you from taking your stand, gentlemen. Think about it, though. The world is full of strong men. Tons of them. There's tons of strong men in this room. Strong men that have great careers, they have great hobbies, they build things, they teach things, they have compassion and love, and like every one of you has something of those traits. If there's one I missed, you got a good one, I'm sure. Right? You gotta take a stand for Jesus Christ. That's what it comes down to. Many will shrink, be paralyzed by fear, and not take that stand because of all the other things that are going around. Fear of failure and rejection and not being accepted, losing something. Like, you're going to lose your reputation because you stood up for Jesus. Or you're going to lose a little bit of comfort. Your comfort is nothing compared to what the benefits are for taking your stand for Jesus. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. That's in 2 Timothy 1:7. That sound mind isn't given to you to just sit there and think good thoughts. It's given to you to take action and to take that stand. I want to talk about Jonathan's moment today. You ever heard of Jonathan in the Bible? Awesome. Awesome, man. So if we take a little bit of some of the good stories, I mean, there's lots of great stories in the Bible of strong men, but Jonathan really kind of stands out to me when I was going through things with taking a stand for God. So if you wouldn't mind, turn with me to the 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to stay in this book here for a little bit. It'll also be on the overhead. But just to kind of set the stage for you, Israel is at war with the Philistines. The Philistines have superior weapons, and they've got the Israelites. They're just kind of hiding out. They're demoralized. King Saul and his army, they're cornered. They're cornered. They're too scared to fight, and they're certainly not present for this fight. Verse 2 says, Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree that is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. The king of Israel is hiding under a tree with 600 men. I know what you're thinking. That had to be one big tree, right? Yeah, it was. There's lots of trees. But that's not taking a stand. That's taking a seat. But then we see Jonathan, Saul's son. And if we look at, we go back to verse 1, it says, one day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his honor, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Jonathan saw the problem, right? The enemy was right there, threatening God's people, while his father, King Saul, was busy hiding under that pomegranate tree. And he had 600 men. Like, you'd think that'd be pretty good, but they were way outnumbered. But Jonathan felt prompting from God, okay? Remember that, prompting from God to do something, right? He didn't wait for permission or approval. He just decided, I'm going to take a stand right now. He knew that if he told his father would give him a hard no. There's no way we're going over there. We're outnumbered. We're going to get destroyed. Sometimes, men, God prompts you. And you just have to move it. You just have to move. Even if the people around you and even if the circumstances tell you to play it safe, if you feel that it's God, you got to do it. And then Jonathan says something extremely powerful here in verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. This wasn't doubt. It was faith-filled expectations. He knew that God wasn't limited by their small numbers, amen? Or their overwhelming enemy's force. The forces of the enemy were nothing compared to what God can do. He believed God's power was absolute. And that the armor bearers respond, what did he say? In verse 7 he says, and his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. Man, that's awesome. Let's dig into this a little bit more. The armor bearer, we don't even know what his name is, right? He's not mentioned. Doesn't have to be. He had faith. He had faith in God, and he had faith in the man that God was using. His response wasn't about risks. It was about immediate agreement and loyalty. I am with you, heart and soul. That's so powerful. Who is your armor bearer? Think about it. Who's your armor bearer? Look beside you, Ben. Look the other side. What can you do together? The Bible says, for where two or three are gathered together, right? In my name, there am I among them. Matthew 18:20. You can both be Jonathans. Feeling God's prompting to step up. No matter what the enemy's putting at you. Or you can both be armor bearers, supporting your brother. Don't do this walk alone, gentlemen. As men, we get on islands and we think all we can do is whatever we can do in our island. We forget that there's another island right next to us that we can swim to, we can walk to. We got phones now. We don't even have to swim. You're all on an island sometimes, and you have to realize that everyone has their own island. And you're not alone. If you're alone, there's another guy on his island thinking that he's alone too. In verses 8 through 10, then Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hand. And this shall be the sign to us. All right, so here we go. Jonathan, he sought confirmation from God, okay? Based on the Philistines' reaction is how he's going to decide what he's going to do. He wasn't just completely reckless, right? He wasn't just like, I'm going to just try this thing out. Like, no, he was wise. He was being guided by faith. He wasn't just figuring out alone. He brought God in. If you're scared to talk to the next island keeper, don't be scared to talk to God. Because God will come in and help you. Men, bring God into every plan that you have and watch for his leading. This is letting God direct your steps. And inviting him to guide as you take a stand in faith helps everything that you do be anointed. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because our human understanding is limited. It's flawed. It's not something that we can just completely go off on a tangent and do. It's tainted by fear, past hurts, rejection. The world's view is tainting your thoughts. If Jonathan had leaned into just his own understanding, he would have stayed hidden. He would have been chilling under that bush or that tree with his father, eating berries or whatever they were doing, right? If Roger Bannister had just leaned on the scientists and the doctors and never thought that he could break down the mental barrier, who knows, maybe nobody would have ever broken the 4-minute mile. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and refuse to lean on your own understanding and bring him into your thoughts and your plans, your decisions, your battles, your relationships, everything, your job. Like, you don't have to go around and preach to everybody, but you can absolutely have him in your mind. You can pray on your way to work. You can pray on your way home from work. You can absolutely bring him into every thought and decision that you do. Let's continue. Verses 11 and 12. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, Hebrews are coming up out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. And the men of the garrisons hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us. Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Man, can you just imagine that moment for a second? He's looking up. They say, come on. He looks back at his armor bearer. He's like, yeah, we got this. God is with us because I checked first, right? Jonathan and his armor bearer showed themselves. They stepped out of hiding. They took their stand. The Philistines saw them and mocked them. Ha ha, look at them guys. Look at them scared little Hebrews coming out. Men, the world might mock you. They might mock you when you step out for God. And they might misunderstand your motives. Look at you look down on you. Look down on you because of your faith. But their opinion doesn't matter. They don't control what you do in your life. People want you to succeed until you surpass them. Once you get past them, you're like, huh, you shouldn't do that. Taking a stand means facing ridicule. But standing with Jesus is worth it. This life is temporary. So what do they have? They had a sign, right? The Philistines gave the signal confirming that God was leading this whole interaction. Look at Jonathan's declaration. For the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Not maybe. Or not, we might be able to do this, man. Should we try it? It wasn't that at all. He has given them into the hand of Israel. Faith was ignited. Right then and there. Nothing can stop two men with ignited faith. I can tell you that right now. and nothing can stop a whole room of men with ignited faith. Amen? They climbed it. It wasn't just some easy path walking up some stairs. They climbed this crazy hill. They used their hands and feet just struggling up the crag. Like, this was like some horrible terrain. Getting up there was rocky. They had things to climb over. It wasn't easy. But God honored their faith. Two men versus a garrison, and they took down 20 soldiers with just two of them. It was supernatural. It wasn't just two men. God showed up because two men were willing to take a stand. Amen? There's no crag right now, physically, right? There's not two guys, there's not a garrison of people that's physically what it is. But think about it in your life right now. Where is it that you need to climb up to and face whatever it is that God wants you to face? Think about that. God shows up when you take that stand. What caused the panic in the Philistine camp? In verse 15 it says, "And there was panic in the camp, in the field and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked and it became a very great panic." That's in verse 15. What do you think that was, gentlemen? It was God. That was God. When you step out in faith, God shows up and helps fight everything with you. He causes panic in the enemy. He shakes the ground. The Philistines weren't scared of Jonathan. They were scared of God with Jonathan. When you take your stand, God is going to stand. And then back under that pomegranate tree, Saul's men finally notice the chaos. They're finally like, "Huh, what's going on?" They were hiding still. So they counted heads and realized that Jonathan and his armor bearer were missing, while two men of faith were changing the entire situation for their whole army. This could have changed the entire course of Israel. If they would have killed Saul at that time, the whole Bible would be completely different. Are you missing because you're hiding? Are you a spectator in a spiritual life? Are you just going through the motions of church? Or have you not even tried to really jump into church yet? You got to get off the bench, and you got to get into the field, and you have to climb that skag. You have to climb that rocky path, that path that sometimes beats you down, that path that's hard to get over. But I can tell you that taking that stand means that you're going to be an actual player in whatever God has for you in your life. You want spiritual blessings? You need God. You want your kids to grow up and be honorable people? You need God. You want your wife to love you with every ounce of her being? You need God. God is the only way to give you any fulfillment in your life. The rest of the chapter shows how the Israelites joined in and God gave them an amazing victory. But I can tell you right now, it took one man to stand up in faith to get that whole thing to work out. Just one man. That's you. You're not fighting alone. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. He is here with you. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Stand on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He is your comforter. He will be with you through the worst of the worst and the best of the best. He's not with you just on your mountaintops. He's with you in those trenches and in your valleys and every aspect of your life. And when you take that stand, you can declare that my Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and my horn of salvation and my high tower. Psalms 18:2, your strength isn't in your willpower, it's in trusting him. When your focus is fixed on this truth, impossible barriers just crumble. What does taking your stand look like for you today? How will you break your four-minute spiritual mile? A decision starts today, a conscious choice to take a stand. You could be showing up here just like every other men's event. Not that they're bad by any means, but You just say, you know, we're going to go there, we're going to sing, we're going to talk about God, I'm going to go back to my life. Or you can say, what do I need to stand on, Jesus? What is it that I need to do in my life to get to the next phase in my life, the next mountain I need to climb? I've got maybe some depression going on or some anxiety going on, or I've just been getting beat up at in my marriage, whatever it is. I don't know where it is you want me to go. I got guys at church that, you know, they're doing their thing. I'm not sure if I feel like I'm completely connected, or I just feel like there's something different that's going on in my life. You have to talk to God about those things. You have to be completely vulnerable and be completely truthful and open up to Him. You have to get off that bench and get into the game and be a player. God is calling you to a purpose. You have some battles that you need to fight, and He wants to fight alongside of you, and He's not looking for men hiding under a tree. He's looking for Jonathan stepping up in faith and armor bearers helping others. Don't hide and don't settle for lukewarm faith. Jump fully in the water. Don't let the enemy win the battle of your mind. You need to rise up and take your stand. As we close out this first session here, I want you to, like I mentioned before, if you want to put the breakout sessions back up, bro, I want you to pray about where you're going to go next. Because this isn't just us putting on a show. I prayed about everything, and I wanted to make sure that somebody heard me today, because it's God has a message for everybody here, for something here. And it may not be in this session or that session. It may not even be something that we speak about. But if you're open to what God's saying in your life right now, God's going to talk to you. God's going to give you guidance and give you direction. And everything here today is a one-on-one when it comes to Him. But you also need to have some brotherly love also and lean on your brothers, because we don't need to do this alone. Amen? If you don't mind, stand with me. I just want to pray. I want to pray about the rest of today. I want to pray that the sugar in the donuts doesn't knock you out. So if you need another quick donut, go grab it and shove it down your mouth. If you're coming back over here, shove it down fast. We don't want any donuts in this room. But if you're going to be over there, you can eat all the donuts you want. And just thank you, Jim, for providing the donuts. Everyone, it's his fault you gained a pound today or three. But if you don't mind, just pray with me. And then just a quick... we'll cover this after prayer. Dear Jesus, I just come to you today, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord Jesus, you just give all of us that strength, Lord Jesus, that courage to make a stand for you, Lord. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, you just help us to see whatever it is that we need to climb, whatever chain we need to break, whatever mountain we need to get over, Lord. I just pray that you just help us to realize that we're not in this alone, Lord, that you got our backs, that no matter what it is that we're facing, Lord, that you could help us through it, Lord. And that the enemy is going to tremble as soon as you show up with me, Lord. That the enemy doesn't have a chance when you show up, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, for every man here, Lord. I pray that you just touch every single man here in their mind, Lord. Help them to just see what it is that you have for them, Lord. Whatever that barrier is that they need to face, Lord. Maybe they need to be an armor bearer for a little while, Lord. And they got somebody that's asked them for help and they haven't done it, Lord. Maybe they're going to be that guy asking for some help, Lord. Help us to offer the help before it's even asked, Lord. Help us to be brothers together, Lord Jesus, and help us to not do it together, not to do it separate and solo, Lord, and to know that you're there for us and we can be brothers and our brothers can all help each other out also, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you just move in all these men today, Lord Jesus, and you just touch them in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick recap. So we got two sessions. One's in here, one's in the fellowship hall. So if you exit to the outside, hang a right. If you're facing me now, it's a left, but... when you go out, hang a right, go into the next room. We got the marriage going on in there, and then we got leadership going on in this one for the first session. And there'll be like a 5 minutes in between just to get to the next one or stay in the same one, whichever. But fellowship hall's on the bottom. So we got dealing with crazy wives and temptation, proof for yourself on the second one. And then if you want to stay here in the sanctuary, you got leadership and what direction in your life to go. Amen?